Raise one hand, let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, with faith on our hearts, humility in our minds, we receive the accuracy and purity of the teaching of your word. There is no error on our minds. There are no doubts on our minds. The teaching of your word comes in clarity and precision. This evening, together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28, we're still looking at the knowledge of the holy. Matthew's Gospel 28. Verse 18. Now, interestingly, I'm going to be acting like you were in the teaching series on So Great Salvation and Law in Genesis. That's tough, right? But that's how it flows. And he came and spake unto them, saying, all authority has power given them in heaven and earth. Then he says in 19, go ye therefore and make disciples, that's what, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, obviously, this is what we call the Great Commission. Every believer must be found fulfilling this, which means that if I'm born again and I'm not actively involved in this, then I can be in the will of God. The will of God is very clear in the things that Jesus has given the church to do. So this forms the background, excuse me, of what we have in the book of Acts and then the epistles. And the word make disciples, mathetuo, in verse 19, implies to train people, to enlist them in a school of a sort. Mark 16, we're coming back to Matthew 28, Mark 16 and 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Then he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, as or devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Then he says, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, them is italicized, and confirming the word with signs following. Then he says, amen. Now, Jesus, we have the responsibility to equally announce a news of a kingdom. And the kingdom has its own signs, and the signs are evident there. He said, you cast out demons, which is to obtain an authority. He said, you heal the sick. If you look at everything mentioned here, there are signs of a new kingdom. Language, dominion stripped, opposition withheld, and then you have demons and all that, and the sick also receive restoration. That's the sign of a new kingdom. Then you have John's Gospel 20. John's Gospel 20. I'm going to read verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me. He says, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, them is italicized, and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. It shows us that by receiving the Spirit, I will begin to function as it were in God's stead, or better still, God functions through us. Because the word aphiemi, which has the word aphesis, to send away sins, is an act of God. And the reason why we can do it is because God is the one doing it through us, which means again that it's a ministry or a command that we carry out by the Spirit. So go back to Luke 24, where Luke deals with the way Jesus, or gives us a clear cut with the way Jesus handled what we call the Old Testament books. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Pay attention on 27. and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The word expounded there applies to interpret, to find or give the meaning of something. And meaning goes beyond just the grammar. Meaning goes to context, culture, the present world of the writer, the mind of the audience, and eventually the system by which it is, the truth is laid down. And the focus will be the theology behind it. We've gone through all of that before now. So which means that Jesus did not just quote scriptures. He didn't just make mention of text. He went through scriptures. And we see the order. Beginning at Moses. And I told you that anytime you say the Bible says, you are not referring to a text of scripture. And a text. Now let me just mention this. This is for your thinking. You must interpret text. But you cannot interpret text alone. You must interpret a text. A text is not a verse. Alright? A text is not a verse. A text usually should come in form of a paragraph. Okay? Or sets of phrases. Now when you have that, you must interpret it with surrounding text. Now when you're done, you interpret it with books that preceded that letter or that book. And so that takes you into what we call a systematic way of reading scripture. So before you say the Bible says, you must really read the whole Bible. You know, I was talking to someone, was it yesterday, and he said the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing, that he actually released his faith when he got married some 16 years ago, was he 17? And he said that he was going to, find favor and all that. I said, but he hasn't seen that. And he was acting innocently, doesn't belong to a denomination that I subscribe to 100%, they're believers, I believe. But it takes a lot to say that they're believers. But it's fine. So when he said that, I said, well, that's not what the scripture is saying. He said, but the Bible says, you find a wife, you find a good thing, find a favor. Well, I should say that to David and Michal. Or Samson and Delilah. Or Job and his wife. So he said, does that mean the Bible contradicts? I said, no. Solomon is making a proposition. And I said, he that finds, which is in the Hebrew, is in present, he says, find a wife, you found good. That is, finding a wife is good, that's all. And it's something that God has endorsed. That is the overall meaning of it. God endorses having wives. It doesn't mean when a man doesn't have a wife, God hasn't endorsed him. So he stopped. He said, are you rewriting the Bible? I said, no. I said, what I've just done for you is to look at the grammar, which you got wrong. And I gave you further things in the Bible that contradicts what you just said. Alright, and by the way, the man who made this statement had more than one, so he must have had favors from God. But that wasn't the point. I said, and I gave him the story of the writer Solomon, that his wives actually brought disfavor. They led him to idols. So he's surprised. He said, but I've believed this 15 years or 14 years of marriage. He said, I thought something was wrong. I said, yes, something was wrong. So what was it? The way you are reading the Bible was wrong. You are trying to hang on God what he never said. Because if you misquote me, even if you have good intentions, if I didn't say it, I didn't say it. It's as simple as that. So I said, in many instances like that, you found people say what the Bible doesn't say. So Jesus gives us the impetus here that we should learn to interpret. Every time you read the Bible, you must interpret. And then you have verse 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. And we saw that again, the same sequence, law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms. Then he opened you their understanding, 45, that they might understand the word so near me, where you have to read or reason together. To read or reason together, which means that I can't lay a truth upon a text. I have to take the whole text around it. I have to take books written before it, just like Daniel Daniel is a prophet, but Daniel would not write in this agreement. Listen to what I'm saying. Look up, I'm going to say something. Every prophet of the Old Testament ensured that their writings conformed with earlier writers. They ensured it. And the writers of the epistles ensured that their writings also conformed with the law and the prophets. So, which means that the writers of the epistles took the authorities or the authority from the writers of the Old Testament, who ensured, Daniel said, I understood by the books, Daniel 9:2, and he's talking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is writing from Moses and the psalmist is writing from Moses and all that. You just read all that and you see that there is a sequence of how things are understood. So nobody got up and said what he liked. They were intelligently, so the Spirit of God doesn't sidestep intelligent reading, which means the Spirit makes use of intelligent reading. That's something we'll still explore a bit more. So you have that way of reading scripture. And a good number of believers can be very lazy. Now, I was telling someone who mentioned another Christian who came to the services and felt, you know, seems like the pastor is very fast. Now, I know you don't think I'm fast, thank you. So, felt that it's very fast. And I look around me, I'm seeing everybody's writing. How are they able to cope with him? I remember a friend told me that, a pastor friend, woman, she said, I wonder, when I see people, how are they coping with you? He said, sometimes I have to watch the video, rewind before I got something you said. I said, it's called training. The first time you see me, you may look mad. That's fine. You know the way you like your lecturers eventually. Well, you know you have no choice. To whom shall we go? I don't pass this course. You know, they have to send me back to my village. So you are here already. Where do you want to go? You sit. And you're wondering, you mean I'm going to be listening to this guy for such a long time? And I'm already thinking, I can't even cope. Don't worry, you will cope. Just sit down, begin to speak God's word. I cope in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to say it takes training when you start to listen. After a while, then you get used to it. You get used to it. And, oh, yeah, you know, and all of that. Now, the first time I was going to Kenneth Hagin, you know, and he has this very strong Texan language, accent, and I felt, and sometimes Brother Hagin will make a joke, everybody's laughing, and I'm laughing that they're laughing. It was funny. You know, but after a while, you know, so there was another guy, like, who was also listening to it one day, and said, so Brother Hagin made a joke, and I laughed. He said, what are you laughing at? And I laughed at him. Remember, I laughed that way before. So sometimes it's training. I said to the fellow, I said, you know, this particular brother or sister might have come to church thinking that we're going to put the scriptures, you know, on the tablets of the Ten Commandments in the heavenlies, which we have not done. And then assuming that we'll take one verse, then shout 10 minutes, then go back to another verse. They said, there's so many scriptures. Jesus came in the volume of the book. And so that's how the Christian walk is like. Have you tried to imagine that the first 5 books, right, of the Bible were written to the Exodus audience? I mean, I thought for an unbelieving audience like that, you won't give them too much. Just give them a prophecy, a sign, a wonder, and let them go. No. Moses gives them a Torah, a doctrine. So doctrine is not only for believers. Doctrine is also for the unsaved. Because Jesus gave doctrine to the unsaved. To the 12 and the disciples in the road to Emmaus, Jesus gave them doctrine. So there are certain instances why how you take your time to explain scripture and all of that. I don't think it's just when you are in a seminar. So we have that. Jesus gives us a background here. Then you also have in Matthew 28, you have the word teaching in 19. where you have the word didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O, which means to instruct and educate, to instruct and educate. So already the ministry takes the format of school. The ministry of the word takes the format of school, which means that in my study, I must be taking notes. I must see it as an education. The Bible was written to educate. So the word didasko has another, it's a compound of words. You have didasko, which is instruction, educate, D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Then you have didaskalia, a body of teaching, alright, teachings generally. Didaskalia, D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Then you have didaskalos, who is the teacher? Didaskalos, D-I-D-A-S-K-O-L-O-S, didaskalos. Didaskalos, sorry. S-K-L-O-S, sorry. Didaskalos. The person who teaches. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Then the one I want to focus on a bit for a few minutes is the word didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Which means the teaching itself or the mode of teaching. How did you teach? And it's clear that Jesus taught. He had a format. That format is to begin. Now, which means that, let me show you what I mean. Jesus, look up guys, I want to show you something, please, this is important. This looks very elementary what I'm about to show you, but observe what I'm about to do. That means Jesus didn't start teaching from this place. Isn't that how we do it? He didn't start from this place. It is a spirit moving when I... What's going on? Oh, you know the song. Okay, you didn't start from here like we do. You know, sometimes we start with sometimes you start a teaching from your favorite verse. The guy is talking about prayer. You say, for God so loved the world. You see, guy says, no, he didn't say for God so loved prayer. He said the world. Calm down. Begin at that same scripture. So he began from here. Which means, just like every book, reasonably speaking, you begin from here. And you know, and we are in a very interesting world where people pick phrases. You know, yeah, I remember I was talking to a group of guys earlier in the day, and there was this newspaper caption, and someone just threw the caption and said, can you imagine? I said, did you read it? He said, do I have to read it? You got to read it. And by the time we read the content of the of what the speech the man gave, it was exactly opposite of what the caption was. You, we all need to get it right. Remember one time, Dr. Price, who's gone to be the Lord now, there was this video they put out of him on one of these news channels in America. And then I saw the video myself. And what did he say in the video? He said, do you know what wealth is? Riches and prosperity means I have a $5 million yacht. I bought a $10 million island. I have a Ferrari, a limousine, and I can spend $1 million per day. That is prosperity. If you don't have that, you are not prosperous. And I laughed. So they put all that in the press. I said, can you imagine a man of God saying this? Then it means that all the casino owners are prosperous. And they were saying that themselves. So Dr. Price took them on. So he played the entire video. And what did he say before that statement? Some of you think. So they cut that off. Used that statement. As soon as I said, that is prosperity. The next thing he said is, that is stupid. So they remove, some of you think at the beginning, that is stupid at the end, and they took what they wanted. Now why did you laugh? Don't you read the Bible like that? And so, even where God is rebuking something, it becomes a confession. Have you seen someone just take scripture and says, let the weak say I'm strong. And God is saying, you mean it? Clap your hands, all ye people. Do you get it? You know, all those things are in scripture, but you can choose not to begin at the beginning. So, just like Jesus, he began at the beginning. Now, the crucial part of the beginning here is that the beginning here is not how we use beginning. So we have to interpret it. So last week we looked at the word beginning. Don't forget that. The word receive. And we came to the conclusion that there's a key element in Genesis. Now I'm privileged to have read the man E.W. Kenyon, who opened my eyes to see this, when he said, the reason for the heaven is the earth. The reason for the earth is man. And the reason for man is fellowship. That the entire doctrine of the Genesis is to show fellowship with God. That for me was an eye-opener a couple of years ago. Maybe some 26 years or 27 years. So the reason for the earth is man. E.W. Kenyon said that, you know, and that was a beautiful truth. The father and his family. So, which implies, again, that is the core of the beginning. And that's agreed with what, you know, that statement by brother E.W. Kenyon is agreeable with everything we have said so far about the Genesis account. So we looked at the Genesis account and we said the focus is man. Because when you say earth, earth is an illustration for man. When Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Is that about man? Huh? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. That's about man. So even Jesus retained the vocabulary of saying earth. Earth. And it's a Genesis language of man. Man's dwelling, man's activities. Heaven and earth. Alright. So, in other words, you have that phrase for the earth. So let's just quickly skip that and get to the focus of today. Go to Genesis. So Jesus began at Genesis. And you can rightly say that Genesis is solution, right? And that's why I tell the leaders, they are all here, that when we have a leaders meeting, and you should learn that too. And whenever we have a meeting and then the pastors are saying, Pastor, we found this out, and they're trying to diagnose a problem. So I'm waiting for them. They don't do that anymore, right? I'm waiting for them, and I'm saying, yep. What is the plan? That's how the Bible is written. The plan first. So which means that we found the plan, the solution, the remedy, then the problem. That's thinking Bible ways. The Bible starts with the plan, the solution. It ends with the plan and the solution. So I tell them, you bring up an issue and you talk about, anyone can criticize. Anyone can find a problem out. Anyone. Do you know how to, if you don't want something to be done, put a critic in charge. He won't know what to do. He won't know what to do. Now, the Bible is a solution book. In other words, the Bible is God's proposals, God's projections to solve a problem. A lady like that, she was in church then, some 14 years ago, I think. We were having a camp meeting, so she was supposed to get the tapes. So the tapes, usually then the tapes are, we get to produce the tapes for a camp meeting, so Pastor Ayo, who was in charge of the tapes duplication, had gone to somewhere in Ikeja then to go and get the tapes. So he rushed back to Faith Plaza, you know. So he came in. I don't know whether he had his back then. It's too long now to ask him. But he came, obviously, drenched in sweat and stress. And this lady's sister said, hey, where's Ayo? Where's my tapes? And all that. And then, you know, you're asking for the word with so much passion and almost anger. Where's the word of God? Are you crazy? You know, something like that. So, this is what he asked, and then he's saying, I have explained to you, it's not really as you said it. So I noticed that they were, you know, and so I said, what's going on? So she told me, he has the tapes. I paid for it for 4 weeks or something. He hasn't bought my tapes. And I said, why have you not given out tapes? Pastor, I was trying to explain, and now that I said, you must have those you gave to some people, or you want to give, say, I do, sir. Go bring it for her. And so, she bought the tapes, and she said, thank you, sir. I said, it's my pleasure. So she turns once and goes, no, you can't go yet. You know, for you to have been so passionate about tapes non-distribution, It means you have a passion for the kingdom. It means there's a vacancy in the tapes department. I said, so you have to join as a child of God to ensure that no one complains anymore. I said, sir, oh, that's a call of God upon your life. So she joins that department. She doesn't complain anymore. Give a guy. When some guys say they analyze pastoring, you know, from where? You're talking about pastoring, talking on a table. To who? To all of us, including pastors. So I'm thinking, no, let's see you do it. Try and follow up five guys. Five. In Christ. Ensure you don't use bread and fish. Ask Jesus what happens to that. And let's see how it goes. Five, just five. And they're stable in church. You know, and then they grow. And out of the five, each will have an archetype of kinds of believers. I was so blessed, sir. I never knew that anyone can have a scripture like that and it doesn't come for the next service. That thing used to confuse me. I'm so happy at the commendation that, sir, this is really the place where everybody should come. And I'm like, thank you, God, for confirming this call upon my life. And it doesn't come again. Alright, so the Bible starts with the solution, alright? And which is the new beginning, the arche. So we looked at that last week, and we began to look at a few other things. The first thing that was created was not matter. We said that before. It's light. So if it's light, pay attention here. And God saw the light, verse 4, and it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. Which means that the darkness preceded the light. The darkness preceded the light. That already shows you it's a new creation. It's a recreation. It's a redemptive theology. If the darkness preceded the light, he didn't create the darkness. There was the darkness. He separated the light from the darkness. And called the light day. Quara. He called it day. Now that shows you we're not dealing with matter, because he creates light, then he calls it day. So, like I said to you all the other time, tohu wabohu, tohu has to do with functionality. So, which means that what we are dealing with in Genesis 1 through to 2 is order, function. And that begins to lend credence to Bible language. He called the light day. Why do you have to call it day? It's already light. No, because we're talking functionality. Now look at that word, quara, Q-A-R-A, he called it. Now, pay attention. This is Brother Ken, I say, Kenny, he responds. Because he is already Kenny. Right? But if I say, Kenny is now the general manager of the company. That's functionality. He's Kenny already. Right? Good. I hope everybody think Kenny your notes. Oh yeah, it's good. You get on notes. So you have quara. Now look at that word, functionality. It functions as Genesis 1:5 and B. He also called the darkness. There's already darkness. He calls it light. Dark night. Sorry. He called it. Look at verse 8. He called the firmament heaven. Now, which means we already have a firmament. He calls it. Quara calls the firmament heaven. Verse 10. He calls the dry land earth. He calls it earth. He called the seas, the waters, the seas. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he will call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name, functionality. So by the time we saw in Genesis 3:1, the serpent functioned as subtle, deceitful, functionality. Subtle, deceitful. Genesis 2:20. Oh, right there. He gave names to the cattle. Genesis 2:23. He called, she shall be called woman. Why does he call her woman? Is the word Isha. Is Ish man, Isha. Means substantially the same. Functionality. Now, if you were with us on Monday, we said this has to do with a counterculture, right? She is like man. Same substance, same essence. Now look at something different. Genesis 3:9, the Lord God called unto Adam. Called unto, called unto. Just like I said, Kenny, where are you? Verse 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve. Called his wife's name Eve. Why? She shall be the mother of living. Functionality. Of course, don't forget, I told you, Eve is an Hebrew word. And Adam and Eve didn't speak Hebrew. Genesis 4 and 17. Cain built a city. He bore Enoch, built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Verse 25. Adam knew his wife, they bore a son Seth, and called his name Seth, for, that means functionality, God had appointed me another seed. Functionality. To function as. So this will function as that seed. Genesis 4:25. 26. They called his name Enosh. Enosh simply being subject to death. Frail. Genesis 5 and 2. Call their name. Look at Adam and male and female call their name man. They function as mankind. Genesis 5:3. Call his name Seth. Pay attention to this one. 5:29. You have Noah. Why is he called Noah? The same shall comfort us concerning our work. Comfort. So which means to call is functionality. To function as. So it's functionality. So you have functionality. Now we want to see something quickly. That the New Testament writers, who obviously follow Jesus' pattern, use this same word. Don't forget its functionality. Begin to function as. Which means it can be redemptive. It can also be judgment. So the word quara, apart from the fact that I'm calling out to someone, can be redemptive. And it can also be judgment. Darkness is judgment. Right? Seth, also Enosh, was the same way. Look at Matthew. Now you find the word Kalil. I told you earlier, you can read this in the Greek. So what is the Greek meaning of this word kara? Now it comes in a combined form of adverbs, but it's from the word Kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, Matthew 1, 28. 21. Matthew 1:21. Don't forget, every time you read New Testament text, they are reading the Old Testament text beginning at Moses. Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Functionality. Kaleo. Thou shalt call his name, for he shall save. So the name bears the function. For he shall call, he shall save his people from their sins. Yeshua in the Hebrew, or you have Joshua, and then you have Jesus in the Greek. Of course, it wasn't Greek, it's Hebrew. Then 23. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now look at that. There was no time Jesus was ever called Emmanuel. He said it himself in Matthew 28:20. And Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered, I am with. So thou shalt call his, that we call Emmanuel, for God with us. Kaleo, again. Quara, Hebrew. Kaleo, Greek. Verse 25. Called his name Jesus. Same thing. Called his name Jesus. Function as Jesus. Now look at Matthew 2. Verse 15. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Have I called my son? Out of Egypt, this is Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt have I called my son. To call out of. So you have that word again in another noun form, klesis. K-L-E-S-I-S. Let's run through that in the epistles. K-L-E-S-I-S. The gifts, Romans 11:29, and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Klesis. Same from the word Christ. See that again, the Genesis account. 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. So which means if Genesis is about men, that means some men are called darkness. Is that clear? Huh? Right? Some earth, seas, right? Signs, lights. It's a name of the function of man. Same way with the animals. So you have 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren. Your calling. Klesis. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Is this clear? Is this clear? Can we say you see your function? Is that correct? Huh? Function. You function like this. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. You have the verb there and then the noun. Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your classes. Calling. Function. Function. So what we call the call. Now you know what we read so far. The calling here is salvation. We said the word kara is redemptive functionality. Are you there? Alright. So, now, you don't forget that when you read... Okay, let me show you something. So, I'll show you quickly. This is very quick and fast. I'll be making much mention of it later when we get back on our series. You look at Isaiah 7:14. The Lord shall give you a sign. Is the word of. in the Hebrew, O-T-H. Why would you call a person a sign? Isaiah 7:14 shall show you a sign. Oath, O-T-H. Now, Isaiah 8:18, the children whom the Lord has given, they are for signs. Now, they are for signs. Signs. Because Isaiah had kids that he named a redemptive name. Alright? They are for signs. Oh. Now, notice, in Genesis, you find in the earth, Genesis 1:14, in the lights and the firmament of heaven, to divide the day from the night, let them be for signs. Signs. And you see, celestial bodies are used for nations. They are used for nations. They are used for to identify people. Let me give you an instance. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Lucifer, son of the morning, thou art cut down to the ground, alright, to the ground, which thou weakens the nations. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will seat, verse 13, also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of a cloud. So you see again, stars used for men. Right? You have one more text I want to show you. So you have stars, signs, shine as stars. Daniel 12, verse 3. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Daniel 12:3. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So that means that the use of heavenly bodies also refers to people. Stars. We'll see all that later. How Israel was called those same things. Stars, moon, the sun. You know, Jesus is also called the Son of Righteousness. We heal in this week. So those are, again, redemptive terminologies. So you have Ephesians, I think I ran from Ephesians back here, I don't know why I did. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. The vocation, you are called. Ephesians 4:4, you are called into one hope of your calling. Let's go there and then see. Philippians 3:14, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14, prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then you have 2 Thessalonians 1, counted worthy of his calling. Verse 11, worthy of his calling. 2 Timothy 1:9. So you see, calling in the epistles is redemptive in nature. A calling, a function in the earth. So which means salvation is functional. Is that clear? It's functional amongst men. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us a holy calling, right? Hebrews 3:1, partakers of the heavenly calling. Then 2 Peter 1:10. Hebrews 3:1, 2 Peter 1:10. So you have all those words, klesis, kaleo, they are all taken from that Hebrew word, kwara, functionality. The light, he called it day. The darkness, night. So you have 1 Corinthians 1:2. Or let's start from Romans 1. Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, Romans 1:7, beloved of God, called saints. Now, let me mention this. Now, that word kwara, this is very critical, is at the root of the word congregation. When God called them out of Egypt, so he called them as light, he called them as his new earth, as his seed. So it's a calling. Are you there? It's a calling. So that word is at the root of the word congregation when they left Egypt. So now, look at the word kaleo. Remember the word ecclesia, church, right? Come on. Which is church. Out of darkness into his light. Church. Ecclesia. Two words. Ek, out. Kaleo. Ek, out. Then kaleo. Call. From the word choir. So you have Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Every time you see called, that's church and also salvation. So church is a redemptive name. Romans 8:28, to them who are called according to his purpose. Called. Then 1 Corinthians 1:2, called saints. Called saints. Is it making sense? Alright, so when you go back to Genesis, is it making sense now? He called the light day. Then the darkness, don't forget, the darkness in the entire Genesis, notice, the darkness was already there. So he called the darkness night. Children of the night. So which means we're going to have light and darkness. Then he begins to, you begin to see all the other metaphors used for men. Waters, earth, seed, right? Right? Do we have the waters of God? Nations, huh? As the waters cover the sea. What about seed? Zera, come on. Very good. Then the celestial bodies. I mentioned that earlier. The celestial bodies. Then you have every living creature, the cattle. And it was so. So, where do we have the functionality? Look at it. The functionality now will be verse 26. Let us make man where? Can you see functionality? Can you see it? Now notice, for the man, let us make man in our image. Selem. See that shortly. After our likeness. And so we've studied this, so let's go back there. The concept of animals and dominion, again, is something that you can read in the books of the Old Testament to understand. So functionality, which means that the first function in redemption is light. 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 Light is function. Say, light is my function. So light is my function in redemption. Light. Light, illumination. John 1:1, in him was life. The life was the light. And the light shineth in the darkness. Functionality. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light. He was in the light. The light, the true light that lighted every man, right, that cometh into the world. Redemptive function. So which means that man in his redemptive status is the light. I am the light of the world. So, let's zero in on another concept, Genesis concept, since Jesus taught from Genesis. Let us make man in our image. Now, when we talk about our image, I call that people misunderstand that. When we were younger as Christians, there was one guy like that. We used to call the guy head of state. Not for office, functionality. And his head was, you know. So, a brother now decided to preach against that. Now, my own problem was, in my set, I think I gave the most nicknames. My mom used to tell me that you can nickname a child that was never conceived. She still says it. So I used to give people nicknames. I gave my dad nicknames. I gave my mom nicknames. If I had a nickname I gave my mom, they still call her today. I gave my mom that nickname. They call her Malay. I gave her in 94. That's the one. Some of you that are not born there, you call her that name. You know, I gave my father Pale. You know, and he didn't know. Until after a while, he said, "Who is calling me Pale?" I said, he knew years later, you know. Later on, I gave him another name. I gave him Baba Shiri. I gave him three names, really. I gave him one that you never heard, Abacha. Never heard that one. You know, because he had this. So I gave people names. So when they said that someone, it was always they were talking about me. As a child of God, even if people don't look fine, you don't give them. There was one lady I used to call handsome. I had another friend, a classmate, I called him Auntie Bosse. So we now met years later. I think I hadn't seen him for many years. So when I saw him again, so I said, he was in England. I said, "Auntie Bosse," I said, "what did you just say?" I said, "I'll cool down." He was all built up, very tall. I said, So I see that. So when that someone came up, and then they said, "Don't know you brethren, you be calling people names." I said, "I was broken. I have not changed. But I was not sincere. That someone did not enter my heart." So and the guy said, "People have made it the image of God. They even if somebody is whore." You know what whore is? You know what whore is? We didn't need to say ugly. Who finished it? That guy is whore. So everybody say, "That guy is the image of God." So I kind of felt the image of God was very interesting. You know. So we used to believe the image of God, you know, is how we are, you know, our panim. Hello that. But interestingly, Jesus both let me take Jesus out of this. This is not important. I don't want to get into trouble. So image was understood in that audience is Selem. T-S-E-L-E-M. Now I'm going to explore a few words before we get to the major subject of the day. Just pay attention. Now that word Selem, right, using Genesis chapter 1:26-28 was now repeated in Genesis 5:3. He says, verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." Now, King James put a son. Why did they put son? Because that was the Eastern culture of referring to a man's son as his image. Now that at the background already shows you why Jesus both in the incarnation and in the resurrection is called the image of the invisible God. That already confers a sonship status. Now son is not how we use it. When we say son, we mean male. When in the new creation, son is male and female. It's not gender. It's functional. Is that clear? So what's this image? Image is used in their culture as a representation of an invisible deity. So there is an invisible deity. He expresses himself through a selem. He does what he does through a selem. But in God's selem, it's not worshipful. God's selem is a corporate identity where it's male and female, which means it's a union. And the New Testament writers call it body of Christ. Body of Christ is that image. Colossians 1:15 and 18, don't forget our study there. So which means that when the earth was done, the issue was the functionality of the man is image. Image and likeness. Two words, Selem, T-S-E-L-E-M, and the word Demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H. Both of them we might see quickly. So you have Demuth, which means like a copy, likeness. Now let's see something about that word Selem. Numbers 33. And 52. So which means that salvation, the essence of salvation, is not a departure, is functionality. Watch this. Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and pluck down all their high places. This is about a temple invasion. And what's in the temple? It says a Selem, molten image. That which represents idols. So, now there are a couple of words you will see. When Moses, for example, was talking about the tabernacle and worship. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 16, so that you will know the image is functional. It says, Moses says, hey, verse 15, he says, take it to yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of a fire, which means that you didn't see any image. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. A graven image, a carved image, is the word semel, S-E-M-E-L. And the word pesel, P-S-E-L, graven image. Similitude of any figure, likeness of male or female. Which means that the image is not gender. The image is not a physical makeup. Don't do that. Don't use animals. Don't use creatures. And the writer of Hebrews says, the way to the holiest was not known, which means that what is that image can only be seen by the Spirit. He says you didn't see anything. So you have that word Demuth, which also is taken from something close to what you construct an imagery and all of that. Let's ignore that for now. So, which is that man? When you say man in God is functional, redemptive man is functional. He does something. That's why in salvation I will build my ecclesia. From the word choir. I will give to them the keys. Which means it's functional. And so, look up guys. What is the first function? Light. That's the first function. So which means that the church or the body of Christ, which is in the image of God, interprets humanity through God. So, he says here, it's functional. I skipped somewhere, Genesis 9:6, I don't know what I did, but I now found out, yeah. Genesis 9:6, where he says here, whosoever sheds a man's blood, sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Which means that man is projected to be in the image of God. That's what that implies. Still explore all of that. So let's find out a key element. Man, therefore, should function in the image of God. Which means that the man, now I'm trying to be careful because I know we have a series on, so if you want to explain sin, this is the reason why many people get their heads knocked over in sin. Sin, therefore, will be to be short of that glory. To come short of it. To come short. So to come short of it is where you have amaton, amataya, which you call sin in the New Testament Greek. It came short. That means sin means is not man. This is not man. This is not like man. Of course, redemptive wise. Now let's see. This is in the image and likeness of God. So get Genesis 2. So which means salvation is functional. Salvation is not is not an escape route from the earth. Salvation is a functional work of God in the earth. That is why the word kalio, which is the Greek word of the word choir in all the compound usages, is functional. The vocation whereby you are called. You are called. You are called. Thou shalt call his name. It's functional, therefore. So we find in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, I will skip the details for now, and we have the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Now you know this all illustrated. Nostrils doesn't mean he put his nose in his nose. No, the word nostrils there means countenance. Countenance or personality. He gives man a personality to be distinguished from other creatures in the earth. So you have to breathe into his nostrils. I want you to see something. To breathe into there. Now think quickly as you go to John 20:22. Jesus breathed in them, emphusao, emphusao, which means it's to provide personality. Provide personality. So if God created everything, then man is created to have a unique personality. To breathe into, you'll find that same word. Looking for where I put it. In Job 20:26, Job 31:39. And then let's see Job 41 and verse 20. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke out of the seething pot of Cledron. That's referring to his personality. Isaiah 54 and 16. Isaiah 64 and 16 there. Sorry, 54. Sorry for that. 54:16. And blows the coal in the fire. I created the smith and blows the coal in the fire. And brings forth an instrument of his work, and I've created so the same word to blow. Jeremiah 1:13. Let me just give emphasis. Jeremiah 1:13. Jeremiah 15 verse 9. 1:13, 15 verse 9. It's just a creative word. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a creative word. Ezekiel 22 verse 20. Ezekiel 22 verse 21. Then Haggai 1:9. So it's a creative word. To breathe into. Breath of life means This is how he's created. Paul says the first man was made, poiaio in the Greek, was made a living soul. This soul breathed into his nostrils there is a creative term. Alright? So, it says, breathe into his nostrils, and then Genesis 22, sorry, and verse 7, the breath of life. The breath of life. Now look at Genesis 7:22. All whose nostrils had the breath of life. Breath of life. This breath here is not referring to God's spirit. Okay? Joshua 10:40. So, man, I'm trying to bring in Monday's teaching, but I think I just have to mention. Man, therefore, was never created to live forever. I thought we saw that on Monday, right? Huh? We said, God made man mortal. Remember that? And I explained what that word mortal meant. Don't forget that. Joshua 10:40. All that breathe. Joshua 11:11. Not anything left to breathe. So you have other places. 2 Samuel 22 verse 16. 2 Samuel 22 verse 16. 1 Kings 15 verse 29. 1 Kings 15 verse 29. And 1 Kings 17 verse 17. I'll take it again. Job 10:40. Job 11:11. 2 Samuel 22 verse 16. 1 Kings 15 verse 29. 1 Kings 17:17. Then look at Job 4:9. Job. Chapter 4 verse 9. By the blast of God they perish. By the breath of his nostrils they are consumed. Job 26 verse 4. He's one of his friends, Eliphaz. Job 27 verse 3. Then you have Job 32 verse 8. Now you know, you should know that statement well. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. That means man's personality is spiritual, just means it's not terrestrial. Job 34 and 14. He gathers unto himself his spirit. Job 37 verse 10. So that word can also be called spirit. Job 37 verse 10. The breath of God force is given. So that means that he's referring to what we now will call in the New Testament, the soul. Right? Living soul. Man became a living soul. The soul. That's the constituent of the soul. Showing you that the soul has a spiritual identity. Man has a spiritual identity. That's what results into what we call the soul. Psalm 18 and 15. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Psalm 150 verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I thought you were going to praise the Lord. Alright, so you now have, now notice that this is not redemptive. This is just man's personality. He's created that way. So man is a spiritual being. Alright? But he is not a spiritual being made to live forever. How did I put it on Saturday? I said, man is created mortal that could die, right? But should not die. Remember that? Can you remember that? So Paul says the first man was a natural man. And we said the word natural, Paul contrasted it with the word spiritual, without the spirit. So natural man, but without the spirit. So he's spiritual in the sense that he is not just a piece of clay. But he's not spiritual until he's born again. So you have Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Some versions even say soul of man. Some say the heart of man. And they are correct. So all these illustrations are taken from the Genesis narrative. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Let's see Isaiah 30, verse 33. The breath of the Lord. Isaiah 42, verse 5. And this already shows you why man interplays with idol worship and spiritism. Is in that mode already. He will interplay with things. He will, man already, and that's what I said on Monday about Paul's teaching in Mass. Man already is made to seek. Everybody is born to find God. The perversion of it is where you now have people into spiritism, idolatry, you know, occultism. So, universal man is already supernatural. It's supernatural. That's why Paul would say, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Alright? Which shows you it's supernatural. It's not referring to the Holy Ghost. So you have this, Isaiah 57, verse 6, Isaiah 57, and verse 6, 16, pardon me for that. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me, and the souls I have made. The souls I have made. Daniel 10:17. Now there are so many more. I just give you a few. Daniel 10:17. Daniel 10:17. Remember, he said, create me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit. So the completeness of this creation is by the Spirit of God. Daniel 10:17. How can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, that there is any breath left in me. Soul. So in Genesis 2:7, it says, man became a living soul. Nephesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. A living being. It means existence. So man exists, just like we have said so far, we are not dealing with matter. Is that very clear? So we have a spiritual being that is not fully spiritual. Is that very clear? Aha. A personality that is not complete, that only becomes complete by choice. And that being is creative, imaginative, has ideas, has innovations, but that is not the image of God. Has innovations, has ideas, and all of that. So you have the word nephesh, which simply means being. Genesis 1, man became a living being. Where do you have that word nephesh? Genesis 1:20. That had life to just be alive. Genesis 1:21. Living creature. Genesis 1:24. Creature. Genesis 1:24. Living creature. Genesis 1:30. Life. So that word nephesh, soul, being, let's say Exodus 23:12. Right, we have that word nephesh. It has a verb which means to refresh, may be refreshed. Exodus 23:12, Exodus 31:17. Rested and was refreshed. Joshua 11:14 and 2 Samuel 16:14. So which means that man exists, is self-existing. In the instance of man has a life that is self-generating, self-refreshed, living creature. So he has, you know, everything working. Yet, what we have is not with the Spirit of God. So you have the word living used about 500 times. I hope I'm right. It means to be alive and to exist. So there is a difference in being alive and well and functioning as man. Oh, we're clear. Is that clear? Come, are you getting this? And functioning as man. So which means that the first functionality, or the primary functionality, and you see, in the writings of the world of Moses, the first thing you see, alright, shows you the direction of where he's going. So light is functionality. Jesus comes in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And it's called the image of God. And he says, you are the light of the world. Functionality. So which means that salvation, we are taken from darkness to light, functional. It's functional. So, this is vital. That means the new creation is a creation of knowledge, insight, illumination. Illumination. Now, let me add this. This is just by the way. Man is a searcher. But the way God has made man, we're going to see that in our teaching of salvation, is a perversion to search otherwise. God has made man to search for God. So how do you know? It's in the Bible. And I believe it. He has made man to search. So that search is a direction to the tree of life. God's presence, or his sacred presence. So, every human being, right, has his own Garden of Eden. So let me say it properly before. Every human being is given the Garden of Eden. Every human being. And that's how Moses wrote it. Adam and Eve being archetypes, who said that. So, the new creation is in the image of God. So let's see the vital things we saw last week. Are we clear? Can you tie things up? Can you tie things up? Okay, you have to link Monday. So, was man created immortal? No. So the concept of somebody's sin coming to you doesn't even make sense. Just throw it away, okay? Is that clear? It's man is not immortal in creation. He's only immortal at the new creation. So the new creation is a renewed creation. Okay? So that new creation, or renewed creation, is both redemptive and covenantal. Redemptive, oh, you are a sinner, you are saved. Covenantal, now let's begin to function on why you were created. So, which means, in redemption, we simply start functioning normally. Is that clear? Is that clear? Very good. Now, obviously, from new creation, it's clear that man was never to depend on his senses to walk with God. Man was not to depend. Now, please put it in capital letter. I didn't say man is not supposed to use his senses. That means your head no go correct. He's not supposed to depend on his senses. Remember that time that Samuel was looking for a king and he saw Eliab and he was like, behold the Lord's anointed. He said, Pay attention. man looks at the outward. Then he says, God looks on the heart. So if I'm in the image of God, what is important to me is the heart. Now my question is, how do I see the heart? We're going to look at all that, maybe it's another way. You know, so the question is, man is primarily what Peter will call the hidden man of the heart. So in our physical makeup, we look like unbelievers. In fact, very well. Most of your hairstyle is unbeliever. So that's not what we're referring to here. But our personality is conditionally meant to be new creation, which is God's spirit in man. So let's look at new creation again. Genesis 1-2. The spirit of God moves, overed. So which means that light is a function of the spirit. Remember Paul's prayer that he will grant you. He says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which in the proper syntax is wisdom and revelation in the spirit. Wisdom and revelation. So which means that the new creature has the wisdom of God by the spirit. See, I have the wisdom of God by the spirit. I'm wise. Okay, so that means in the new creature, we are made wise by God. Don't forget, we're looking at the knowledge of the Holy. We are made wise by God. We function in that light. Light be. And you know the light, it now says, I am light. I am light. So, the light we're referring to is not received from God, is received as God. Is also the seed. So in the indwelling of God, we are indwelt by light. Hallelujah. We are indwelt by light. So now, watch this. Now, God also has made it very accessible to find him. Look at Psalm 19. So how do I find that light? We have said that new creature man is not made. Let me even say, man itself is not made to function, sorry, to depend on his senses. When he does that, he will become a mental anarchist. He will begin to just reason through, and he will be lost. This is what becomes the atheist. He will die unfulfilled. And God made it so. Not for him to die, but that is how God has created him. So you have a mental anarchist. Yeah, we have those who might look like, you know, they'll just want to function in the spirit alone. But don't forget, God created that man first a living soul. It's not abandoned in a new creature. It only becomes functional through it. So which means that my intelligence, my knowledge, my brilliance becomes functional at the new birth. No matter how brilliant I was before I got saved. They become functional, and it now becomes functional, as we are going to see, in true worship by the new creature. Let me show you how they're following this. Now, look at Psalm 19. So when we come to Christ, or Christ comes to us in new birth, we now begin to live. We begin to live. But we're not dead before now. I'm already 80 years old. Mm-mm. You lived as a living soul. But you were not eternal. And eternal is not just timing, Eternal refers to, of course, eternal sense of this is forever, an age that superimposes itself upon this age. But eternal actually refers to this very substance of God. That I begin to see how he sees, I begin to do things the way he does it. So Psalm 19. Now look at one. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament shows his handiwork. I told you that on Monday when David said that I see the moon and stars and I wonder what is man. And I told you that what he was saying is not a contrast. That I look at it that you did all this to point to man. What is man that you are mindful of him? No, someone. Now look at this again. He says, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night shows knowledge. Then he now says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, confounding the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. Which means that nature is man's first contact. Nature. Can you see this? Nature drives a man to look for God. But the revelation of God itself is found in the law of the Lord. The revelation of God itself is now found in the law. So we have two kinds of revelation or knowledge. We have the sense knowledge. The sense knowledge is what I can see. It will only point me to the written word or God's revelation eventually. So now we have left that path of Psalm 19 verse 1. Heavens declare the glory of the Lord. We've left that path. We are now in the path of light. Are you there? So the written word, right? What we read in the written word, what it does, the written word gives us the information of the wisdom and the light that we have already received. Now, don't forget, it reveals God. Who did we receive at the new birth? God. So theology that we study eventually comes back to us. We know God. We know ourselves. Then we worship God. So a man only finds out his true personality when he's saved. Till he is saved, he will exist. He will be intelligent and brilliant. And he will do it in sin, short of the glory of God. But in the new birth, he is now separated from darkness into God's marvelous light. Hallelujah. Somebody learning something. So the knowledge of the holy is that new birth. That's why John points our attention. John points our attention to this fact. Look at Jesus. Remember? In 1 Corinthians 15:45, Paul says, the first man, look at what he said, was made a living soul. Nefesh in Hebrew. Nefesh chayeh. That's what I said. Nefesh chayeh, made a living soul. He now said the second man. He said the first came first. Which means that that is how God ordered it. That I made you a living soul to receive the life-giving spirit. So, it now says the second is the Lord from heaven, the life-giving spirit. Zopohio, which in John 6:63, it says, the flesh profits nothing. And when I say flesh, remember I told you that in John 3, when it says the flesh is talking about humanity without God, without the spirit. Don't always think that as sin. No. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Genesis 2:7, right? That which is born of the Spirit, the image of God, is Spirit. So watch this. It says, the words I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. They quicken, zopohio. Same word in Romans 8:11. Romans 4:17, Abraham, called the things that be not as though they were, quickened the dead. Second Corinthians 3:6. To give life by the Spirit, the new covenant. So, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says that is the second Adam. Don't forget that the second Adam, right, is the human in God's image. Let's say the real human. The true human. Is that second Adam. And it functions with and as light. So let's see the functionality. We'll start this week and we'll continue next week. So notice where we ended last week. Remember that last week? We ended in John 20, remember? So, but you know, we said last week that we got to new creation in John 20, remember? We got to new creation, the first day of the week. And we said that, what did Jesus say about new creature, new creation? The first thing is the spirit in them. He breathed in them. He breathed in them. He breathed in them. Emphasis. Ezekiel 37:5 prophesy. He said the breath of God entered in. Emphasis. Then he says, receive he the spirit. Now notice that when you receive the spirit, so whosoever sins. Now who remits sins? But new creation is in whose image? Did you get something from that? So he's now in Christ's stead. In God's stead. Jesus came as a man and said, your sins are forgiven. He said, who can forgive yourself, God? He said, I am the Father one. So in the new creation, we are in that stead. Or let's say, he's also in our stead. How? By the Spirit. So, by the Spirit. John 14:2. My father's oikia, there are many money, mansions. But also I told you, I go to prepare places where I am, you'll be also. Now, look at that conversation. Look at where it goes to. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to you, you have seen me, I've seen the Father. He went all that and he says, I will pray the Father. And he will give you an allos paracletos. The same. That is Genesis 1:2. That he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of this reality. Then that day you know I'm in my Father, you are me, I am you. John 14:20. Then in John 14:26, it says the spirit of truth, the spirit of God, the another comforter. He will bring to your remembrance the things I've said to you. Then in John 15:1, I am the true vine. My Father is the farmer. Israel is called the vine. Say, you are the branches. So which means that he's explaining that image of God. A union. That functionality. So it is in that image. You know, remember Monday we were looking at the fact that there is a social construct. Can you remember? We reconstruct it. Then it says whosoever. Every time we hear whosoever, it's a new covenant, new creation word. Whosoever. Whosoever sins. Whosoever calls. Whosoever believes. It's a new creation term. So then, in John 16, he now says the spirit of truth will guide into all. And he said all of that. He will show you. He will show you revelation. Things to come. Then John 17, he says the glory I had with you from the foundation of the world. That's from Genesis. I've given to them. That is the light, the seed, the life, the image. Are you there? I've given to them. So new creation. He shows up and Mary Magdalene hugs him. Say, touch me no further. I ascend to my God and your God. And my Father and your Father. And when he shows up, look at the first thing he says. Peace unto you. That is the word Eiren. E-I-R-E-N. It means completeness. Are you there? That is new creation. Completeness. Which means before now you are not complete. But now, the Spirit. And how did he make them complete? He breathed in them. By showing them. How did he breathe in them? He didn't put his noses on them. By the word. Right? So the contact was still the word. He showed them the word. Luke 24:25-27. Luke 24:45. And he opened their understanding. And that was the Spirit within. Then he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Take from the Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit. They are remitted of them. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted of them. So our functionality as new creatures is in the Spirit. What makes me different from another person not born again is the Spirit. It's not my morals. Are you there? Even though my morals are altered. It's not my ideas. It's not my intelligence. It's not my brilliance. No. That's already in man. That's already with man. That can even be transferred by gene. I think so. How can they contact there? But the new creature reality is the Spirit. The new creation reality is the Spirit. The new creation reality. When you say, what is the new creation reality? Is the Spirit. The Spirit. And the first thing we see about the Spirit is light. So I am in the realm of light. I am in the realm of light. Which means, where we are, we walk with God. Where we are, God walks with us. Where we are, God walks in us. And we have illumination. The new creature doesn't say, I don't know. He says, well, my mind may not know it yet, but within me I know it. He knows that he knows. And he knows and he knows. And he knows and he knows. So when you say a Christian trying to find out, trying to read one book and all that, he's walking in the flesh. He's walking in the flesh. Heavens declare his glory, the firmament his mighty works, but it's only the law of the Lord that is perfect. Hallelujah. Are you there? So the written word, right, unveils to us the living word. Amen. And we begin to see our functionalities. So which means I read scripture as revelation. Right? 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 Lift your Bible up. Say, this book is God's revelation. It's not a mere book. It's not a mere book. This is the knowledge of the Holy. The knowledge of who I am and what I am. Amen. So it's revelation to me. It's revelation to me. It's revelation to me. It's revelation to me. This is revelation to me. Revelation of God. His judgment. His wisdom. You know what? They are now my judgments. They are now my wisdom. How do I know? Because I am in his image and his likeness. By the indwelling of the Spirit. By the indwelling of the Spirit. So this is the knowledge of the Holy. The written word. That's why Paul says, when you read, you may understand. My knowledge, you may understand it. Therefore, we ought to fellowship with the written word. We ought to fellowship with the written word. We ought to bury our minds there. Look at me, guys. There's nothing you should read like the Bible. Nothing. 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 In your boring moments, in your bad moments, read it. It's revelation to you. It's revelation to you. Take it again and eat it. It's revelation to you. You know what is going on? You are getting to know what is in the Spirit. What is in the Spirit? What is in the Spirit? So, we must see the Bible as God's revelation. Paul, right to Timothy, he says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Theonustos, same word, is for doctrine. We teach from there, we learn from there. We are convinced by it. Reproof. It's for correction. We straighten up our thinking by it. And it's also for instruction in righteousness. Is that not the work of the Holy Ghost? So the work of the Holy Ghost is by the written word. When I feed on the written word, is the work of the Holy Ghost. So, I function appropriately. So, I see the Bible. See, I see the Bible as, now this is a very careless word, just to communicate, as the manual for how this new creation functions. I feed on it. I feed on it. When I read about God's rebukes, I don't look the way. It's my spirit rebuking my mind too. I read the rebukes, they are my rebukes. I read the judgments, they are my judgments. I read the insight, they are my insights. I read the instructions, they are my instructions. They belong to me. They belong to me. They belong to me. They belong to me. Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. I walk through it. I walk through it in the image of God. So right now in the new creature, we are God's humanity. We are now men. We are now human beings. Hallelujah. When we got born again, we now became human beings. Hallelujah. God's human being. See, God is not going to do any other thing to man but to make him man. Man is the centerpiece of God's creature. What happens in the earth is made by man. I showed you on Monday that man's corruption affected the earth. When I first learned it from EWK, I was wondering, I couldn't see it. And you know, I saw Genesis 6. But scientists themselves have said it. that nature has been affected by man. I'm talking about nature. Climate change, things like that. This is in the Bible already. Hallelujah. It's already there. Amen. Which also means that as God's men, we can affect the climate of a place. Yes, we can. Because salvation is functional. It's functional. It's functional. We are God's men. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I close from here. Glory to God. So we have that, the new creature reality, the new creation reality is the Spirit within us. So when you say new creation, some people say new recreated human spirit. I have no problem with that. But new creation, indwelling of the Spirit. New creation, I begin to function as a human being by the Spirit. By the Spirit. A human being without the Spirit is dead. Because that's how God made man. To be mortal till the Spirit comes. Death, there, told you. Mortal, there, so maybe he could die. Not that he should. But glory to God. By the Spirit, we have eternal life. Hallelujah. Pray to God.